This is the Define Startup Podcast Show with Curtis Anderton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This week, we have a very exciting guest. I really enjoyed this episode, and there was just a ton of great insight and advice. And this is one of my favorite episodes so far, for sure. This week I'll be interviewing Shannon Kinney. She is a keynote speaker, influential digital media executive, and founder of Dream Local Digital. Now, Shannon has a lot of public speaking experience and a lot of business experience in general. In this episode, we talk a lot about marketing, her schedule in the morning, and how she schedules her day, as well as some awesome advice for public speaking. So if you guys are interested in marketing and business and public speaking or looking for new ways to schedule your life, this is an awesome episode for you. Like I said, I really enjoyed this episode and I left so motivated and encouraged. So thank you, Shannon, so much for this awesome interview. So guys, sit back and relax or enjoy the ride to work or whatever you're doing right now listening to this episode, and enjoy this episode with Shannon Kinney. Hello, Shannon. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
All right. Before we jump into the questions, tell us a little bit about yourself and some hobbies you might have and your role in your current business.
Hi. Well, I am founder and client success officer of Dream Local Digital. So, and we celebrate our 8th year anniversary in just a week. So we are excited here. My role here is leading that business. In terms of hobbies, I really like spending time on the water and with my friends and family doing social things. I like to go out and have fun.
Great. So how did the idea come up of your business about 8 years ago? Tell us the origin story of your business.
Sure. I had spent many years helping businesses make money online that were larger businesses. I was on the founding team of Cars.com, several other big companies that I advised or worked for, including Google and Microsoft and more. And I really wanted to start spending time with small businesses and see how small and medium-sized businesses could leverage the power of the internet to promote themselves, to serve customers, to grow their business. So I started Dream Local actually as an experiment because I'm asked to speak at so many conferences about trends in the industry. I wanted to get a couple of small business clients and do a case study on how small businesses are impacted by these tools, and it just grew into not only a passion but a real business pretty quickly. So that's how Dream Local was born 8 years ago.
Awesome. Now, in the early days, from kind of when you started originally and got the idea from it, how long after that did you make your first dollar?
So we made our first dollar within months. So it was 2009, and we started making money, I'd say, on month three. We started bringing in revenue. I myself waited quite a while before I took any money out of the business, and my investment to get the business started was to continue to put funds back into the business to build it over time. And I wanted to spend my time working on the business, not necessarily in the business all of the time. So we made our first sale within 90 days of starting, and it became self-sustaining other than myself right away.
Awesome. So how long after that do you feel like you were living off this income full-time?
For me, I stopped reinvesting what I would say is my income on year two. And that was largely because for me, my business is a scaled business. And so we serve businesses nationwide. And I didn't have cash and capital up front to build big enterprise systems. So we built them incrementally over 2 years while we were validating the model, working with customers. So I just kept reinvesting my own income. I also hired an individual to take a lot of day-to-day operations questions from customers so that I could continue to focus my time on the business, growth of the business, and development of the business. So because of those decisions, I didn't take income out for myself until year two. I could have. It certainly would have been something that I could have done. But for me, I wanted to make sure the business was strong enough that when it did start paying me, it was paying me a real salary, which it does.
All right. So in those early days, how would you say that you promoted and marketed your company?
Well, for us, this is a little bit of an easy one because we are a marketing company.
Yeah.
So in the early days, we used the web. We had our website. We were pretty, in the early days, Facebook was actually still the primary channel that we were using beyond our website. And we went to a lot of local events. So I would be at Chamber of Commerce Business After Hours and Chamber Galas and Business Association meetings. I also spoke at a lot of conferences nationwide on online marketing, and I still am on the road, I'd say more than 20 weeks a year, speaking at events of some type nationwide. That channel is still a big one for us, but in the beginning, in the early days, we were looking at any local business event where a lot of businesses were going to be at, and we were sort of, you know, preaching to the choir about what they needed to be doing to promote themselves.
Great. Now, right now, what would you say is your favorite form of marketing for your company?
For us, it's still the web, and we promote ourselves a lot online, but we also use sales intelligence to understand what businesses actually need help from us. And that way, a lot of the advertising and marketing that we're doing is to target very targeted audiences versus blasting it out to everybody. So those are super efficient channels. And when it comes to, you know, bigger partnerships that our business has, being on the road, there's several of us now who do it that speak at events and things. That's probably our best offline channel other than the online marketing. For us, it's primarily social media is what closes business and one of us being at an event.
Great. All right. Now, what would you say is your biggest mistake you've made in business this far?
This one is kind of a funny one and could go in a few different directions. First one I can say is you have to become, as an entrepreneur, really comfortable with your strengths and your weaknesses. And you need to surround yourselves with people that really complement your weaknesses very well. And I think that is something that I still practice today, something I have always done in my leadership roles at other companies. It's an important skill to have, to be humble and empower the people around you to be able to be really super effective as well as passionate about what they do. I think the biggest mistakes I've made are in terms of choosing someone to balance my weaknesses and not spending enough time to sort of monitor how that was working. You know, I tend to assume that everyone has the same work ethic I do. I tend to assume that everyone is as passionate as I am. And in three different instances, I've put trust and or power in the hands of people that I shouldn't have. So I think that was a mistake for me, and I think it's something that I need to continue to work on, is developing, you know, being humble and empowering others is a nice trait unless you start handing it out when you shouldn't. And I think for me that has been a lesson for me that's happened three different times over 8 years in this business for different reasons with different types of people. But it's something that I think was a mistake for us. It's held us back. It's caused us significant amounts of money and time. And so I think that's one I need to figure out how to nail down. And other entrepreneurs, you know, it comes up whether you're looking for co-founders, whether you're looking for somebody on your leadership team who's going to really help you build the business. It's easy to feel like you're on the same page and that you're simpatico with your vision, but you need to have some checks and balances around making sure that the tactics that they're deploying or that it's all sort of falling true. That makes sense. And if you're blind in your faith and trust, then that can too often go badly, and that has been the case for me. I catch it. When I catch it, I have no problem taking action. correcting it and being transparent with the rest of the team about what I learned, but it has happened 3 different times.
Well, yeah, I could see how that would be a very difficult thing to deal with. Now, what would you say would be the best way to kind of attack that head on and prevent that from happening in the future?
I think the lesson I've learned is I need to do a better job of developing methods of, I want to say checks and balances, but checking the actual activity or output of those individuals in a way that is less than just a conversation, but is more quantifiable to make sure that people are going down the path you want them to go down. The rest of my team here, I can tell what everybody's doing at any given time of the day, but in many cases at a leadership level, it's a softer thing than that, and it's a little bit harder. And in one of my 3 situations, I waited too long to really see and measure the lack of success I was experiencing. The other 2, it was fairly short, but they were big ones. And so, I think you want to look for somebody who's going to balance your weaknesses, but you can't be so blind. You have to really think through what weakness is it that I need to overcome and what skills and abilities do I need the most, as well as sort of a cultural fit in that. And it does matter for co-founders. I've been asked the question a lot on these kinds of podcasts about whether it's a co-founder role or could be even a role that has a lot of operational responsibility. You need to make sure that the decision-making that they're using is similar to what you'd use, or at least something that you can live with, both with your customers, your outward-facing stuff, as well as your team, because in many cases, your team isn't going to say something bad about someone at a leadership level if you're not looking for it or talking to people and trying to figure it out. So I know for me now that I am a lot more engaged with my customers and my team members and making sure that all of us at a leadership level are performing in a way that supports the growth of the company.
Great. There's a lot of value in that. Now, you must be a very busy person. I know business is hectic at times and you're traveling a lot and speaking a lot. How do you mm-hmm. organize and schedule your life?
So, I am literally tied to my calendar, and we're a Google shop here. I don't think it matters which platform you're on, but my calendar is a pretty intense experience. For me, I can say that my secret to my success is I am clearer and more productive early in the day. I'm creative later in the day, but if I'm going to crank stuff out, the morning is better for me. So I actually get up at the ungodly time of between 4:30 and 5 in the morning, and I work for 2 hours before my daughter wakes up, before my team wakes up, before I go to the office. So those 2 hours are in many cases when I actually get done what's assigned to me or what comes up throughout the course of the day, because the majority of my day tends to be meetings, and that's important, meetings or traveling or speeches or whatever. So for me, that morning time is so critical to my success, and so much so that as I'm planning how I'm going to schedule my day in 2017, I'm going to be starting to put a moratorium on meetings before 10 a.m. so that when I get to the office, I can also have another hour or so of that peak productive time. I think it's going to help me move faster and respond more quickly to things than this constant stream of meetings. And then I utilize time trade tools and a assistant to help me manage the calendar, because there's on any given week, 50 to 70 requests to get into what amounts to, 35 slots. So it's just a nutshell every week. But so I wake up, I grab my phone, I look at it and think, where do I have to go today? Where do I have to be today? What's ahead of me today? And then what's on my hot list of things I need to produce? And I spend 4:30 to 7 or so cranking as much of that stuff out as I can.
Very interesting. Now, we have a couple of shorter questions here left, and then we'll be at the end of the show. So we'll jump right into those. What one book has had the greatest impact on your life?
really interesting question. I'd say on my personal life, or sort of my what has shaped the way I think about things, there's been a couple pivotal books. One of them was A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, which really sort of talks about being very present in any given time, and that spending a ton of time thinking about the past or the future isn't as useful as making the most of the time you have right now. And of course, there's a space for planning and forecasting the future and carving out your end game, but that on a day-to-day basis, you can't lose sight of where you are at this given moment. From a business side, there's been a lot of books I've read on the business side that have really shaped sort of my point of view, but one that I think is really particularly useful for entrepreneurs is it's one that you may not think is, and that's it's a book called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And it helps you understand how to lead, how to communicate with your team, but also, most importantly, how to talk about your business. The key thing is you need to stop just talking about what you do or how you do it, but why you do it. And for me, that's been really important because people do business with people, not businesses. When people invest in people and entrepreneurs, not just the business, and you have to be really clear with yourself as well as with your customers, investors, board on why you are doing what you're doing and not lose sight of what you do or how you do. And I think his book really maps it out very well. And the fact that we also do marketing for other businesses is why I draw from that book on such a regular basis, because we'll sit down with small businesses and they'll just be like, hey, I'm having a sale, tell everyone. And we'll have to really get down with them to help learn their why and share their why. And the more that we can do a good job sharing their why, the more ROI we can drive for them on the marketing side.
Perfect. Now, do you listen to any podcasts, Shannon?
I listen to several different podcasts, but I can say I am not as good at listening to them on a regular basis as I should be, because I don't have time for it, unfortunately. That's a bad answer to your question.
No, not at all. Some people don't listen to them. That's completely understandable. Now, you mentioned earlier that you do a lot of public speaking, and I am very curious, what would you say is your top two pieces of advice for people who want to become better at public speaking?
First of all, it's relax. I find that the reason people respond to me, I think, when I'm speaking, is that they'll sense enthusiasm and passion about what I'm talking about. I'm not necessarily afraid to laugh at myself a little bit. And it's and all of that is driven from the fact that I'm relaxed about what I'm doing. And I'm not saying that's easy, because even though I've been doing this for years, you know, I look out of the crowd and I see 600 or 1,000 people there, and I wonder, is my mic going to work? Am I going to trip? All of these things that everybody else thinks about. But I know that when I'm at my best is when I just recognize that the minute I hit that stage or that podium, there's no point in worrying about it anymore. It's not going to fix anything. It's actually going to hurt you, and you just need to relax and do it. So finding a way to just pretend that you're in a small room or whatever it is that helps you relax is what matters. The second one, second piece of advice I'd give is being prepared. And knowing what you're going to talk about, anticipating what you may get for questions so that you can relate what you have to say to the audience matters. Like, a lot of times people will, when they're booking me, they'll want to talk to me about AV requirements or, the car service or whatever, when really I'll say, tell me about the audience. Where do they come from? Why are they here? What do they hope to learn? And then I try to tailor my presentation to the audience. And in the case that I can't, like, I will get there early and I'll walk around and talk to people in the audience first. And I'll be like, oh, hey, you know, I'm Shannon, I'm your speaker today. You know, what were you hoping to get out of today? Because the more that you can be relaxed, be enthusiastic about what you're talking about, and be prepared so that you know what you're talking about, when you can tailor it for even one person in the audience a little bit, it becomes really remarkable and memorable. And that happens to be a sweet spot that has always done well by me. And I know other people at my company tend to be really prepared or know what they're talking about, but they'll be like, ah, everybody's still requesting you more. And I think it's because I am relatable at the audience level. But I couldn't be relatable at the audience level if I didn't take the time to know where they were coming from and also try super hard to be a little bit relaxed about it to the extent you can.
Wonderful. That is some great advice. And actually, I've asked a lot of entrepreneurs that question, and that was the first time, or those two answers were the first responses that I've got that were different. And I really appreciate you sharing that with me, because I feel like that is very applicable and actionable for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, I'll even fake it sometimes. I'm not going to lie and say that I never get nervous, but I'll think about how I behave when I'm relaxed. Fake it till you make it. Like, if I may joke a little bit, laugh a little bit, if I walk around a little bit more when I'm relaxed, I'll force myself to do it. And then all of a sudden it starts to happen. So I think it matters a lot. And when I, all the testimonials and feedback I get, like when people send feedback for each speech, enthusiasm relating to the audience comes up over and over again.
Wonderful. Now, before we end the show here, what is your greatest piece of advice for new entrepreneurs?
So, for new entrepreneurs, I think it's funny that when we're applying for jobs, just a normal job at another company, you'll be critical about the salary and the benefits, and you'll think about work hours and work happiness. But when we're starting our own business, we don't think about any of that stuff, right? So, assume that you're going to have to sacrifice everything, money, time with friends and family, status, social life, savings. You may have to sacrifice all of it, and you may have to sacrifice it for 2 to 3 times longer than you think. And make sure that when you're going into this, that is okay with you. Because if it is, you can survive any hardship, you can power through the tough times, but if you're gonna be shocked about having all of it go away, then it might not be the right space for you. You have to make sure you're also really passionate about what you're doing. I know a lot of people that will start a business in an area where they just happen to see a lot of opportunity, and that is a good way to start a business. But if you're not losing sleep thinking about how to do what you want to do better, then it's going to be really hard to power through all that sacrifice. And finally, invest in, even if, like me, it forces you to go another year without a salary, invest in whatever infrastructure you need, whether it's people or otherwise, so that you have the time to work on your business and not just in your business. Otherwise, you'll just be creating a job for yourself and maybe a couple other people. And I think that's a really critical thing. Like, for me, I actually had a person at a, I'd say, co-owner level when I first started this business. And we ended up about 8 months in and started having all these philosophical differences. And I realized that I was building a nationwide company and she was building a lifestyle job for herself. And those are two totally different directions. And what we ended up spending a few months helping her find exactly that, but it wasn't with the company anymore. So if you just want to work in your business, then you're a craftsman, and that's very valuable, but it's totally different than trying to, you know, invest in working on the business and building something bigger than you.
Great. Thank you, Shannon, for sharing. That was some great real advice, and I feel like that is very important for some people to hear and learn. So before we end off here, where can people find more about you, Shannon?
Well, thanks, everybody, for your interest. You can learn more about my company and me at dreamlocal.com. You'll see links to videos about us on YouTube, all of our social profiles. You can learn more about my business and what we do and how we help businesses. And then there is a bio page on me if that's something you're interested in.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Shannon, for being on the show today. I very much enjoyed this interview.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this last episode of the Defined Startup Show. Thank you, Shannon, so much for your time and your wonderful advice that you shared in this conversation. I really enjoyed it. If you guys want to find more about Shannon, please go check out the show notes at medium.com/Curtis Anderton. Or if you want to just Google search the Defined Startup Show, you can find more about the show, the previous guests, as well as this interview with Shannon. So I hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. If you are, I would love it if you could share it with a friend, just one friend that you think would enjoy these episodes. Any little bit helps, and I really appreciate it. So if you guys want to find more updates and information about the show, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheDefined Podcast. And you can find more information there, as well as on Twitter at Define Startup. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode once again. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you have what it takes. Go get something awesome done this week, and I will see you in the next one.